Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Judges chapter 15. In the previous chapter, chapter 14, we saw that Samson was running from God's plan for his life to be the savior of Israel. And yet, God gave him a little extra motivation to actually rise up against the Philistines anyways. Well, that little motivation that he had gets a double dose in chapter 15. Do you remember the story of Braveheart, where William Wallace rises up, and at first in the movie doesn't really have a reason to, until they start messing with his woman? Well, it's kind of the same here. Verse 1 picks up. Later on, at the time of wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. He said, "I'm going to my wife's room," but her father would not let him go in. "I was so sure you hated her," he said, "that I gave her to your companion. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead." Samson said to them, "This time, I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I'm really going to hurt you." So he went out and caught 300 foxes and tied them tail to tail in pairs. He then fastened a torch to every pair of tails, lit the torches, and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and standing grain together with the vineyards and olive groves. When the Philistines asked, "Who did this?" they were told, "Samson the Timnite's son-in-law, because his wife was given to his companion." So the Philistines went in and burned her and her father to death. I guess that was a thing, because they kind of threatened to do that the last chapter. Samson said to them, "Since you've acted like this, I swear I won't stop until I get my revenge on you." He attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Then he went down and stayed in a cave in the rock of Etam. This whole chapter is about blood and fighting. We see Samson getting revenge on the men who killed his family, slaughtering many of them. Then we see him tying the tails of foxes together and sending them through the fields to light their crops on fire. Now, this was genius and supernatural. Let me explain. Catching one fox is hard. It's amazing. But catching 300 foxes, that's supernatural. But this chapter is full of supernatural things. We see a spring opening up for Samson miraculously out of the ground when he's thirsty. We also see him grabbing a piece of bone, the jawbone of a donkey, and wielding it like Rambo with a hammer. And by the way, that was touching a dead thing, which he wasn't supposed to do. But with the jawbone of a donkey, he takes out 1,000 Philistines, a feat which would be as realistic as a 70-year-old man taking on a small army in the latest Stallone film. But he wasn't Stallone, or Rambo, or Rocky. He had God with him. And that made all the difference. You see, Samson is not just another Hercules story. He's not the Incredible Hulk of the Bible. In fact, we know nothing about his physique. We're never told that he looks like an Adonis or Greek god. In fact, it's highly possible that Samson just looked like a normal dude. I mean, he wasn't muscular or buff like me or anything. But he may have even been a little bit small. The short man syndrome that works overtime to me would love to think that. But the book of Judges makes it clear that Samson's strength came when the Spirit of God came upon him. Verse 14 and 15 tell us, "The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men." By the way, that's the secret of your strength and mine. To overcome some of the impossible foes or naturally stronger enemies like pornography or digital distraction, which brain science tells us are powerful foes, we need a supernatural strength. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is supplied for, to help us transform into the image of Christ. But that doesn't mean it's not a fight. You see, Samson here had to stop and stand and resist. We need to resist sin. That's a choice we make. Samson had to make the decision to stand and fight. It wasn't like he walked into a village and shouted, "Va-boom!" and watched them all simultaneously fall like dominoes. No, we're told here there was a real struggle. When Samson was done killing all those Philistines, he was exhausted and beyond parched. It sapped every bit of his natural strength and dried up every piece of his flesh, despite the supply of supernatural strength. You see, when you get serious about overcoming the enemies that plague your soul, you fight. You get ready to fight to the death. And it is a fight to the death. That's why the Bible says, put those desires to death, the desires of the flesh. And how do you do that? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 6, yield to the Holy Spirit, who has better desires. You see, when you become a Christian, it's not just that your old desires die off and fade away. They don't, they're still there. But the reality is, you have stronger desires in you, desires for God. And Paul says, yield to those desires instead of the weaker ones. C.S. Lewis, theologian and author of the Chronicles of Narnia, once wrote, "It's not that our desires are too strong, it's that they're not strong enough. We desire the wrong things." And as a Christian, you have conflicting sets of desires. And when you're fighting sin, you give in to the better desires, the desires to be free, like Samson who burst through those bonds. You desire to have a clean conscience. You desire to walk with Jesus, a desire to be close to Him and enjoy uninterrupted peace with Him, bypasses everything else. And that's a hard lesson to learn. And sometimes it takes battle after battle after battle. That's part of what the Holy Spirit does. He reminds us of the misery we have in sin and the joy we have when we're walking in the Spirit. In fact, it's the same with an alcoholic that desires to be clean and sober and have healthy relationships and a life free from the bondage of substance that overpowers their desire for alcohol. And you know what? AA was founded by Christians who knew one thing. If you're going to be free, you can't do it alone. You're going to need a greater power than your own, a higher power. So if you're struggling today with what you want and what you know God wants, part of you wants those good things too. The Holy Spirit's been in you and He's been shaping your desires. And what you begin to find is your desires for the things of God get stronger and stronger, and the things for the flesh become weaker and weaker over time. But I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Peyton, you know what? My desires maybe are too weak. Like C.S. Lewis said, my desires for the things of the Lord haven't been that strong. What should I do? First thing you do is you talk to Him about it. And you say, Lord Jesus, help me want the right things. By the way, did you realize that the Lord's Prayer is actually asking us to pray that on a daily basis? It says, lead us not into temptation. That means lead us away from temptation, but deliver us from evil. And what that prayer really means when it says, lead us not into temptation, is help me to want the right things. Help those things not to be as big of a temptation. And if they are, deliver me. Give me the grace and the strength to overcome. That is a supernatural occurrence. And unfortunately today, we don't hear much about the power of the Holy Spirit. But it is real, and it will help you overcome. So whatever's around your wrist today, call out upon the Spirit of the Lord and ask God to break those bonds. He will. Keep crying, keep asking, keep seeking God for deliverance, and it will come. Read Judges chapter 15 today, and as you do, watch those bonds become like flax.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.